Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 127, Seeing the World Through Different Lenses.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, hello there, wherever you are in the world, I hope you're doing well. I'm celebrating a 20-year anniversary of being in the United States. Lucky me, I met so many of you during that 20 years, and many of you listening knew me before that. So thank you for being part of my family, being part of my community. And it feels like a celebration because things are changing. Now, you may say, oh, they're changing too slow, or it all seems so confusing. But remember, as things break down, there is confusion, there is chaos, there is grief. And there is, at this moment, a lot of disorientation, a lot of dissatisfaction, a lot of frustration. I'm hearing it in people around me because things are either not moving fast enough or we don't know where we're going, so we start complaining. But things are moving, my friends, and be patient. Be patient because big changes take time. And Mars is presently going into Gemini, which as a Gemini I'm very pleased about. So there's a passion for communication, an increase of communication. Remembering that that word communication is not a one-way affair, me talking to you and you just listening. I liked it when we had our live meeting where we could communicate. We need to get back to that level of discussion with communication meaning common union. Let's find a place where we can meet each other, not necessarily having the same point of view, seeing the world through the same lenses, but at least being willing to walk a mile in someone else's moccasins, to listen to someone else's point of view. Because it isn't just listening and going back to our old point of view, it's saying, how can your discussion, how can our discussion, your point of view, help me to see the world in a more expanded way? And that's not necessarily happening all the time. But as Mars will be trining both Saturn and Jupiter in Aquarius, we're going to see more of a desire for community. I'm hearing other people talk about that. We're getting together as a group of mothers who want our children to go back to school. We're getting together as a group of people who want to see more nature in their environment. We're getting together as a group of people who want to see change in other ways. We want to make sure, I heard someone say, we want to make sure that never again with our elderly be left alone. We're getting together to make sure that never happens. So we're seeing electronically that there's greater communication, and we're seeing collectively that we are talking together and hopefully getting a little bit more telepathic, where we actually share with each other on the level that we are able to communicate, which is through our hearts, through our minds. And when I first came into the United States, it was just before 9/11, and I was so happy to be here. But shortly after 9/11, I would remember sitting with some very erudite individuals, and they were talking about why soon after the decision was being made to go into Iraq, to bomb Iraq, to make changes. And just like the curious child I am, I said, well, why is that happening? And I said, surely we know that 9/11 wasn't created and wasn't sponsored by Iraq alone, even, and by Saddam. And they looked at me and said, well, no, but Saddam is an evil, evil man. And that was like end of conversation, that we bring some emotionality into a situation. So end of conversation, don't even talk about it. And that type of lack of taking things deeper, to being able to have critical thought or even some sort of thought that brings us to a conclusion, I found very confusing when I first came here. Now, true to say, I have met many, many wonderful thinkers. Many of you are listening to me today. And it's not because of me saying something. I'm hoping I stir your mind up. I hope I start to make you think for yourselves, not that you didn't, but I'm reminding of you what you already know. So the sort of communication we're having is a fertilization, many ideas coming together, and then many ideas creating something new, mysterious, something unknown that we've not seen before. And that's the excitement that's in the air. Let's not go back to the old normal or even the new normal. Let's create something absolutely different. We're not building better, as everybody's trying to tell us. We're actually building new. What we've been doing before is not working. But it's new only from the perception that we have not yet created this. What we are creating is something that is in our soul, in our remembrance. And I love the fact that we're starting to look back in history and realizing that what we've been told actually isn't true. Now, that doesn't mean, therefore, just cancel it out. But understanding that we have not come from being hunter-gatherers and barbarians, but from being highly evolved individuals. And that knowingness of how to work together, how to work and live in egalitarian societies is still within us. How to be telepathic. I've been studying a lot about Lemuria, the time where the continent of Mu or Pan, possibly with the end of this such culture or civilization going down around 24,000 years ago. And you might say, well, how do you know? Well, there's a lot of evidence that has been left behind of these people. And although the organic material has gone away, we have now much more knowledge of how to read maybe some of the inorganic material that's left. Some of you may have been following the information about Stonehenge and how the blue stones were actually taken from Wales and recreated in the position they are now on Salisbury Plain. But I was reading about the Jomon people of Japan and how they were all seen as just hunter-gatherers, simple people living in caves. But they created this beautiful rope invested pottery. In other words, they put the rope within the pottery. And we have that pottery now. And so to have such an art, to be able to make the clay, to make the pottery, to put the rope within this was amazing. And then they said, well, they didn't know about rice growing until the Korean came in, or the influence from what we now call Korea. Actually, what they found is that there's actually rice pods or rice seeds within this clay. So they knew this 14,000 years ago, 17,000 years ago. Now, you might say, well, Christine, that's the past. But I think the past is there for us to remember who we are. Some of it is not what we need to not repeat. We've not always been beautiful people who did marvelous things. We've done terrible things to each other. And the only way that we will not make those mistakes again is to keep history alive, to remind ourselves, to see the world, not from a limited point of view where history of anything that's uncomfortable is just wiped out, but to really know ourselves and say, I'm not going to repeat that pattern. And to be able to do that, we need to be willing to have discussions, to have open discussions. And at this moment, as we're moving into a new phase of COVID, we need to have honest discussions. What went on? Why did some things happen? Why did we all lock down? And what's so interesting is much of the information that was available probably about April, May, has not been disputed. In fact, much of what I'm hearing now people talk about, we knew back in April, May. And I will say I give great credit to Del Bigtree on Highwire for his leading the way in let's talk to scientists, let's talk to people about what's going on. In other words, we knew then that it was about 8 or 10% of the population who were said to have COVID and who died from it. Only 8 to 10% actually died without comorbidities. Now, you might say, well, yes, that weakened them. But a lot of those people who died were actually possibly going to die anyway within that year or two. So it's not just that they had other illnesses and COVID took them there. They were going to die. And what often happens in certain, you know, in situations of hospices, people often die of pneumonias and illnesses that come in where their immune system says, that's it, I'm leaving. But what I really want to focus on is the 8 to 10% who died without other comorbidities. But that's only 8 to 10%. Those other people, they died, very sad. But we need to focus on what was it about those 8 to 10%, not the rest. And then we know that 0.2%, 0.26% of people were always seen as probably going to die from COVID. That figure hasn't really changed. That figure that says 99% of people or more, again, depending on your age, are going to survive this illness. And as I say, the average is 0.26 will die from this illness. That hasn't changed. And what we knew probably back in June was that 70% of the people who were being diagnosed with COVID in New York State had been in lockdown. They had been isolated. They had lived on their own. And still, they developed COVID. And now we're seeing that countries such as India, Nepal, Haiti, relatively multiple populations, multiple generations living together, many of these cultures fairly poor in terms of healthcare, and certainly prior to vaccination output, the numbers of them dying and having COVID are dropping dramatically. In other words, in Nepal, the COVID deaths have almost disappeared. Haiti, disappearing. The levels of people dying with COVID in India, disappearing. And the vaccination companies want us to believe that this is due to vaccines. Well, it's not. This all happened prior to the outgoing vaccine trials and et cetera, and the giving of the vaccines. So we need to understand what the difference is, because these countries were not in lockdown. You know, you couldn't lock these people away from other people. They lived, as I said, multi-generationally within a home. They couldn't afford to lock down. They had to keep going. They didn't always wear masks. And yet we see this. And I know, working in Japan, I was there last March at this time. And yes, Japanese people wear masks much more commonly than others. And yes, they wash their hands more commonly and they wipe their hands before they eat and they drink more green tea. All of those things are very valid, I think, in what keeps them well. But I also remember that while I was there, there was really no lockdown. I know it's got tighter more recently, but I would be on a busy train. Things are busy there. People were in malls going to the shops, and yet their death rate is very low. So what we're suggesting is maybe the lockdowns did more harm than good. Maybe there's something about isolation that actually lowers our immune response. And we know that to be true. Isolation, helplessness, fear, anxiety, lack of purpose, loss of value are all easy ways to lower the immune response. And yet we've done this anyway. So all I can say is I hope we learn from this. I hope we stop being so arrogant, hubris, and immature, and not just say, well, we did the right thing and the vaccines work. We're falling in line with a line of thought that is being driven by pharma, by corporations who just want to make money. We're not looking at the evidence. We're not having that critical thinking, that constructive thinking that says, let me learn from this. And that, I think, is the key, is let us not just see the world through our own one lens. Let's, as I say, look at other countries. Let's use the internet to means by learning from each other, not being isolated from each other. Let's come together in communities. And as Pluto is going through Capricorn, Pluto, the great goddess of transformation, breaking down old structures, old institutions, old corporations, we're watching as each institution, whether it's the law, the police, the politicians, the medical facilities, and now the teachers, every institution that I have to say we often looked up to as an authority, a knowingness, they know what we're doing. Each one is being shown up for their biases, for their lack of knowledge, for their inability to deeply think about situations. Do what I tell you to do, just don't ask questions. And what's good about that is the Aquarian energy, which is Saturn, Jupiter, and soon will be Pluto, is saying, I don't just take your word for it. Because Aquarian energy says, I'd rather do something on my own in the direction that my inner knowing tells me to do than to do what everybody else is doing. So as I synthesize information, and every one of you who's listening has that ability to take information from different points of view and bring it together and bring it to your heart and say, what is real for me? You can throw some of it out. You can throw everything I say out. But this is real discernment. This is third eye discernment that says, knowing all that I know or hearing all that I hear and assessing it all, why do I want to go forward? But when we're given limited information or no access to information at all, our Aquarian mind actually says, I choose not to follow anything that is based on fear or shame. So if you're just telling me to do this because otherwise I'm a bad person, I'm going the other way. And I know that's happening. I know in my lovely Britain that's happening. Making a decision as to whether you have a vaccine or not, wear a mask or not, meet other people or not, is not based only on science. It's based on a superstition, an underlying mythology. And when we're just being told to do something and just get on with it and stop complaining, that is not good communication. That is shaming, bullying. If what I'm telling you or what I'm suggesting you do is only based on my ego, then please don't do it. It really is, can someone give advice that is not based on either their profit, their pocket getting more money, or their ego? Because if you ask me a question and I refuse to answer and say, just follow my advice, it's because I have fear that I have nothing to back up what I'm saying, or that I'm arrogant enough that you're so stupid that you can't think for yourself. I may still do what you're telling me to do if you give me really sound and grounded explanations. But you see, even if I gave you all the information in the world, and I know I'm twisting it here, I want someone to give me the explanations and let me make the decision. But I've also been in the opposite way, where I have given great data. And I used to do this a lot when I was teaching complementary medicine and healing. For 10 years, I did this. And I would sit with experts in their field who would give metadata upon metadata about why healing works or homeopathy. And at the end of the day, someone would say, so where's the evidence? And I think we'd all cry. We all went, where have you been for the last hour? You see, that's all I hear. Yeah, but if I had real evidence, then I'd do this. And it reminds me when I say everybody's intuitive, but not everybody follows through. I see people having the most amazing downloads of information, the amazing support from the universe. And yet they say, so what do you think I should do? And I'll say, who do you need to come and say, do it, trust it? See, that's going to be our greatest regret when we pass over, is all the opportunities that were offered to us that we didn't do. And these aren't opportunities to save the world or to go out and create something new. It may just be an opportunity to heal a relationship. It may be an opportunity to rest. It might be an opportunity to find contentment. And we're overwhelmed with everything getting stuck at the throat chakra. But we have the information. We have the insight. We have the inner knowing. And then we reject it. Say, well, when I've got more information, then maybe I'll do that. When I feel secure, then I'll do it. When you can guarantee nothing's going to go wrong, then I'll do it. And ultimately, nobody can give any guarantees. So we're saying, can you guarantee that if I have this vaccine, I will blah, 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 blah. No, even Dr. Fauci says, this vaccine, none of these vaccines actually prevent transmission. They only prevent a more serious clinical illness. So it's a drug, it's not a vaccine. And so when people say, well, now I can go and hug everybody because I've had the vaccine. No, even Dr. Fauci is saying, even the drug companies themselves are saying, this does not prevent transmission. It means that's why he's saying, keep wearing your mask, keep wearing 6 masks. Because nobody can guarantee that. And what we're now seeing, and I was just reading a lovely article on this, is a research study that shows that when they've now looked at when you have the natural virus, so if a virus enters your body, they've looked at the people who have had the virus, been sick with it. They've then looked at how many different ways did your immune system respond. And they've looked at, first of all, to say that there are 17, 19 different proteins within this virus. And not just one, which is what's happening in the vaccine. They're choosing one protein to go against. So your naturally catching this virus is actually saying there are 17 or 19 different proteins that your body then has to react against, not just one. And what your body then does is have a massive cascade of different energies. Let's have some antibodies, let's have some interferon, let's have some killer T cells, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. And this, your body, that's only on the physical level. Your body is responding in a way, and so is your mind, so is your spirit. So immunity is not against something, it's actually for something. It's making us stronger. So every time we get a virus, we get an infection, something like that, it's actually saying, integrate this new information in and become stronger. But that's not what the vaccines are doing. They're saying, make a drug against this particular one protein, which actually could weaken your immune response to the next time you meet such a coronavirus. And so we're meeting, we're seeing all these variants appear. And of course, now the drug companies say, well, it may not work against that variant. No, because there are 17 to 19 proteins even within this virus. So is a variant just another expression of one of these proteins? Or maybe it's a mutation of one of those proteins, etc. Do you understand me? So the more naturally we can work with this, the stronger we can make the immune system to meet and embrace and then expand from this place, the better. So what we know is improving people's state of health is not just about having a better environment. It's about how do we feel valued? How do we feel not alone? How do we feel strong within ourselves? And that's why we know that 50% of people have already had or been introduced to this virus, but have had asymptomatic experiences with it. So we're moving in a way that is positive, and sadly, we're saying, as I say, that sadly for the pharmaceutical companies, that the virus, actually, the more it mutates, the weaker it gets. And that's what's been happening. So actually, the numbers are falling. So what we're going to see is more pressure on people to have the vaccine. And wow, there's another variant, and you better have a booster because you're not going to make money otherwise. They're not going to make money. So when people say, well, should I take the vaccine or not? I don't care. Again, that's your choice, whatever you feel. But recognize it's not should you take the vaccine, but why are you taking a vaccine to an illness that there's a good chance that 99% of us will survive anyway? So do you really believe you're one of those 1% or less that's going to get to die from this? Amongst, for instance, the very young are less likely to die from this. 99.9% will survive. And you may not like those odds, but I think that what's really coming up is that this illness has brought to the surface, as I've said before, all the fears that we have. So that what often happens, it brings up the fear of, what if I die? What if I get sick? And when we wear a mask, it may be, wow, lucky me, I'm wearing a mask. Or it may be, lucky me, I'm wearing a mask because I don't trust other people won't infect me. And that lack of trust of others was there long before the virus. Or, wow, I don't want to get virus in case I die. Well, I've got to tell you, you're going to die. That I can guarantee. Every one of us is going to die. And if you believe in past lives, you've done it many times. You're an expert at it. So what I think it's bringing to the surface is these false beliefs, this sense of, you know, what could happen to me. So everything that I hear people speak about is not new. It's coming from deep within us. And so when we're looking at these beliefs, it's not only the old beliefs, but it's also, what should I do? Tell me what to do. I don't want to be accountable for my actions. So someone else being the expert, giving away our power to other people, to be the expert so we can blame them, is a very old pattern. So what's shifting, and I'm seeing it, is people making a decision, not just to do something, but to be accountable for our actions. If something happens, I won't blame anybody else. I'm going to respond to what feels right for me. And as we do this, we change the way we live in the world. And that opens our hearts, it opens our minds to new experiences. Things that I see are happening, much more interest in ETs, elementals, elements, fairies. It's not that we just want to be, oh, let me have a fairy by me, or let me have. It's the fact that we're saying, I know this exists. I've always known this exists. I'm loving the fact that people are coming out the woodwork and talking about things that they've hidden before. And the universe, the ET world, the spirit world are coming close to us and saying, we can't take over your free will. We're not here to save you. But we want you to understand the spiritual nature of yourself, the ET nature of yourself, the angel nature of yourself. In other words, wake up to what you are. So it isn't just that we're having communication with an angel or a fairy or anything. It's the fact that they're saying, what you see in me is what you see in you. What exists in me exists in you. And it's that ability to interchange energy, to really communicate, is an expansion of consciousness. And this is why I'm coming back to what I was speaking about, where I started. When we communicate, if we come away from communicating with one other person, listening to one other person, if we have not changed and expanded our consciousness, then we shouldn't be listening to that person. It isn't about hearing someone that just confirms what we've already known. It's good when we're shaken up. It's good when we hear something that rocks our boat, that says, well, maybe I've been limited in my thinking. And so what I want us all to be thinking and communicating, it isn't about communicating with people who think the same. I want to communicate with people who have a different worldview. I want to go to bed at night and think, wow, what would that world look like if I embraced that? What would that look like to look through that lens? Because that's the expansion that's happening now. And I hope that as I speak to you, you will feel that expansion. You will be willing to stop someone and say, let me hear how you got to that conclusion. I don't need your facts. I don't need you to tell me little details. I want you to show me the journey you've taken to get to that point of view. And if we're feeling a certain way, just be mindful of not projecting our beliefs onto other people, because that just really limits their ability to hear. And I say that in my final statement because I hear people say, wow, people are dying awful deaths. People are having awful experiences with COVID, for instance. And I say, absolutely true, but people have been having awful deaths and awful experiences long before 2020. And we just, maybe, you know, that hasn't been part of your agenda. But I've sat with people over 40 years. I have sat and listened to people who are dying, listened to people who are seriously ill. And I just say is stop and listen to them rather than projecting our own fears onto someone and say, that's terrible. And I've heard people say, I'm ready to die, many a time. I've heard people say, this illness has taken me to new places I'd never have gone before. I've worked and lived with people who are in comas, who have dementia, and have tapped into that spirit where they're saying, this is taking me places. I need to be out of my body to do this work. I've worked with people, spirits who have passed over and who are telling me that this was their way, what they needed. And so if we can listen rather than always think and project, we would have a far better world. So I'm listening to you with my heart, with my third eye, and with my love. Until next time, many blessings. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the HeartSpeak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all HeartSpeak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. HeartSpeak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of HeartSpeak.